Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We'll read the whole psalm together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he humbled their heart with labor. They stumbled and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on their great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens. They went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him at the seat of the elders. He changes rivers into a wilderness, and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water, and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city, and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bow down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high. Away from affliction, and makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Verse 43, who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time this morning, just to come before you, to meditate upon your word and to worship you for who you are and for all that you have done. And Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. We invite you here, God. We just want to come before you in humility and in thankfulness and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A long psalm, the New International Version, the NIV version, in verse 2, where it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." The NIV says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And the last verse, verse 43, the NIV says, "Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." The NASB says, "Consider the loving kindness." NIV says, "Ponder the loving deeds of the Lord." And so I want to ask you guys a question. Do you guys want to be wise? Right? Do you want to be people that are known for their wisdom? Wise in your decision making, wise. You know, everybody wants to be wise. No one wants to be a fool. And the scripture tells us, let the one who is wise pay attention to these things. These things meaning all the works of the Lord, the loving kindness of the Lord, the loving deeds of the Lord. Pay attention to these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. So I think there is great wisdom in doing that. And so this morning, that's what I want us to do. In a little bit, Andrew's going to lead us in a song. Not right now, but he's going to come up in a little bit, and we're going to worship. And when we do that, let's do this. You know, let's remember what God has done and give thanks for his loving kindness and pay attention. Give heed to all these great things that God has done in your life. This psalm is a beautiful psalm. So it begins with the introduction. Verse 1 through 3 is an introduction. He's saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." He begins with worship. His loving kindness is everlasting. And then he says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed say, declare that God has redeemed them. Tell their story. And verse 3, this is what he has done. The people that God has redeemed and gathered from the lands, let them say so. Let them tell their story. And then there is actually four different types of people that the psalmist describes. Okay, from verse 4 to verse 9 is one type of person that God has redeemed. And then the next section, verse 10 to 16, is another type of person. And then the verse 17 to 22 is another type. And 23 to 32 is another type. And then there's some concluding paragraphs. So we'll just go through it very quickly. First, the first one, the first type of people that this psalm describes from verse 4. You know, I'm just going to take it from our perspective and maybe look at it a little bit more symbolically. You know, I think he was referring to people maybe in a literal sense. He's probably referring to Israel when they were exiled from God, from their land, and then God restored them back into their homeland. But for us, when we're reading this psalm, we can kind of maybe look at it as an allegory and see what God has done in the lives of people in our days. So verse 4 through 9, these are people that wander in the wilderness in a desert region. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted them. The thing that I want to focus on is the type of people that are very hungry and thirsty and dry. Right? This could be referring to people that never met Jesus Christ, so people that just didn't know God, and then God redeemed them, and now they have a relationship with God. But it also could describe Christians. We have a relationship with God, but we remain very dry and very thirsty and very hungry. And what God does in his loving kindness is he comes to them and he satisfies their soul. If you look at verse 9, he says, "He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good." Right? This is what God does to those that are hungry and dry and thirsty. We know that every single person has a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. That there is something in us, there's an emptiness in us that nothing else can fill. And what God does is he comes and he fills that need. He satisfies us We turn to so many different things. There's a few different passages in the scripture where God is calling out to the people and saying, don't turn to these broken things that will not satisfy you. Why do you pay money and why do you do all these things? Why do you spend all this energy looking for, you know, different things? Why do you look about you anxiously trying to find something that's going to satisfy you when I am offering to you something for free and you can come and be satisfied in me? And God has done that in our lives, right? If you're sitting here this morning, most likely you've experienced the Lord satisfying your hunger, your thirst, your just the dryness in your heart. I always think of Pastor Kenny's story, if you've heard his testimony. I don't even know if you will remember, but he says at that one point, before he was a Christian, he was out partying late at night, and then he's walking home, right? Walking home because the escalators have turned off because it's so late. So he's walking home, and then he says that there was a certain point where he's walking home, and he was done from the night of partying, and he just felt this incredible emptiness in his heart. Just the question of, what the heck am I doing? You know? You know, he's out with all his friends, drinking, doing all the fun things that's supposed to satisfy him. But at the end of all that, as he's going home, he realizes it's so empty. You know, it's so meaningless. And we all have that, but God redeems us out of that, and he gives us life. He gives us satisfaction in him. So that's the first point. The second one, it talks about, I mean, you should read it more carefully. It talks about those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains. And then in verse 16, he says, he shattered. This is what God has done. He shattered the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron asunder. So here, what I'm drawing from here is people that are just in bondage, right? People that are in bondage. Mostly, I'm thinking about different sins, you know? When I think about some of the temptations, you know, and the sins that people struggle with, that I have struggled with, the imagery that you get is this, the chains, you know? It binds you, it keeps you in bondage, and you can't get out. You know, it makes you a slave to sin. I think there is a verse... can't remember where exactly, but it says, he who continues to sin becomes a slave to that sin. You know, if you keep giving in to this temptation, you become a slave to the temptation. And you've become a prisoner, right, of that sin. But God sets us free. Maybe sin is not the only thing. Sometimes we become prisoner to our own issues, our own brokenness, right? To our own shame, to our own a depression, maybe. And we become a prisoner to these things. In verse 10, it says, these are prisoners in their misery, prisoners in their chains, right? We've become prisoners to these things. But God redeems us. That's what God does, right? He, in his mercy, to people that are broken, to people that are completely lost, it seems hopeless, you know, that these guys, how can they ever come out of the situation that they're in? But this is what God does. He redeems people, right? He comes and he breaks the chains and he gives us life. And the third one is, I'm going to keep it very simple. I mean, it's so much deeper, but what it talks about is the healing of God. And some people are in real sickness, right? And we've heard many, many testimonies, right, of people that were, you know, dying, or they were struggling with a serious illness, and God just comes and he heals. He brings his healing and he gives them new life. And that's a loving kindness of the Lord, right? He comes in his healing power and he brings healing to those that are sick, to those that are, you know, it says they were at the gate of death, you know, at the gates of death. But God redeems them. God brings healing. And the last point, the last one from verse 23 to 32, you should really read it because it's much deeper than that. But what I want to focus on is Verse 29, he caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. And I'm talking about people that just their life is in turmoil, right? Some people, that just everything is a storm. You know, their life is a storm. And it's crazy. Things are going crazy and they feel like they're out of control. And they're barely hanging on. You know, their head is barely above the waters and they're barely surviving. And God brings peace to their heart. And that's what he does. I mean, if you hear the stories of these people that have, you know, that testify, you know, when we have baptism service and people come up and they testify of what God has done in their life, sometimes their life is just in turmoil. There is no peace and it's a storm, but God comes and he brings peace in their hearts. And that's God's redemption. You know, that's the loving kindness of the Lord. And so I want us to think about that in your own life. I mean, if you were to tell your testimony, right? I've talked about this YouTube video. You can look up cardboard testimony, right? Of these different people coming up with a piece of cardboard. And on one side, they write down what their life was like before they met Christ. You know, it could be I was addicted to drugs, or I was angry and bitter at God for what he had done, or I was, you know, maybe I was abused by my father or something. And then on the other side, what God has done to redeem them. You know, I've been set free. You know, I've been set free from drugs. You know, God has helped me forgive my parents, or God has helped me forgive my dad, or whatever the case might be, and how God has redeemed them. And I'm sure you can think of your own story of what God has done. And so this is what I want to encourage you to do this morning as we worship, that you will tell your story, maybe tell it back to God, tell it back to yourself, and if you get a chance, tell it to a friend. Tell the story of how God has redeemed you and remember the loving kindness of the Lord. And I think if we did that, it will do three things. I'm going to keep it very short, don't worry. Three things. Number one, it keeps us tender. It keeps us tender if we continue to remind ourselves of what God has done. If we continue to ponder upon the loving kindness of the Lord and pay attention, you know, pay heed to these things that God has done, it keeps us tender in our hearts. We don't grow cynical or skeptical or cold in our hearts toward the Lord. Instead, we stay tender and we stay thankful. You know, we stay soft inside and we get moved again and again. I think it's very serious if you're a Christian and you don't have, and there is no movement in your heart when you think about the love of God. Right? You need to come before the Lord and say, God, come and move my heart again. Keep my heart tender. Okay, so it keeps us tender. Number two, it keeps us humble, right? It keeps us humble because when we think about the loving kindness of God and the grace of God, how we were just as messed up, but God had mercy on us and he saved us. Then when we see other people and maybe we are a little bit annoyed and we feel like, how can they be doing that? How can they be doing this? But we remember, you know what? I'm just as bad. But God had mercy on me. He forgave me of a much greater sin. Right? And it keeps you humble when you look around and you say, you know what? I might be frustrated at them or frustrated at this or that. But you recognize, you know what? I'm just as bad. But God had mercy on me and he redeemed me. He got me out of this mess. And I'm in no place to pronounce judgment or to condemn. You know, instead, I need to extend the same kind of mercy and grace. And the last thing is, I don't have a nice way of phrasing it because I just had the revelation as I came up here. But the last thing is, it keeps us going out and evangelizing. You know, if we remember what God has done in our lives, and we read about, man, this is what God does. He brings people out of their misery. He brings people out of their bondage. He brings people out of their suffering, their sickness. He brings people that are so unsatisfied and so just the storms of their lives are destroying them. But what God does is he's a God of redemption. He redeems these people. And I think if we let that sink in, then I think it gives us the courage and the drive to say, you know what, I need to bring this message to other people Especially this Sunday, you guys, is it's a special Sunday because we have a guest speaker who's basically introducing Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. And it's focused on people that are not believers. And I want to encourage you, really pray about it. Really pray and say, God, is there anyone in my life, my colleagues, you know, anyone that I'm close to that you want me to, that you're highlighting to me to bring to this service? Because we have to believe. Maybe it keeps us believing that God can redeem people, you know, which will encourage us and get us to go out there and evangelize and to bring people into the same kind of relationship with Christ. So let's do that. Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song. And let's just remember the love of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, and let it move you in your heart. Let it humble you, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about, is there anyone in your life that you should be sharing this message to? You know, giving them an opportunity to meet the God that redeems. Okay, so let's go before the Lord.